Unionist politicians are saying no to David Cameron's plans to legislate for gay marriage. The Prime Minister is facing increasing controversy over the planned proposed law change. Among those campaigning strongly against it is the Coalition for Marriage. The list of supporters includes six DUP MPs, the Ulster Unionist peer, Lord McGuinness. Lord McGuinness is on the line with us. Morning to you, Lord McGuinness.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing okay, thank you. John O'Doherty's with us as well from the Rainbow Project, the gay health organisation. Morning to you, John.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, good morning. Lord McGuinness, why are you against this?
Well, I'm against it for the basic reason that it's unnatural, and I don't think that society as a whole requires to have imposed on it something which is unnatural. I certainly don't believe that there should be an obligation, and this is something that's open to question, that should be an obligation to my on my church to allow gay marriages in church.
Over a quarter of people surveyed by the Equality Commission, 27%, would mind a gay, lesbian or bisexual person living next door. So that would suggest that some 73% wouldn't mind a gay or lesbian or bisexual person living next door to them.
Well, I can't dictate how people live their lives. It would be the last thing in the world that I'd want to do. I would be concerned of my young children that they would be influenced by these people. Remember, this is not something private like your marriage or my marriage. This is something that is aggressive. This is something that is demanding. This is something
that's aggressive
that is
about it.
Campaigning.
What's aggressive about it?
Well, the very fact that people take to the streets campaigning in favour of have gay rights parades and so on. I just think. Can I tell you that I was.
So you don't believe in the right to protest now?
No. That's not what I'm saying at all. I was a student at college. Okay, maybe I'm a bit old-fashioned, but I was a student at college before I ever knew that there was such a thing as homosexuality. It was not something that was part of the scene 50, 60 years ago.
John O'Doherty?
Well, I think, Stephen, first of all, you've identified one of the key problems. We have a politician on now this morning saying that LGBT people, that there's something wrong with them, that there's something wrong with the relationships that we have, and that our love isn't equal to anybody else's. What needs to be clear around the discussion around marriage equality is that if same-sex couples are able to marry, it has no impact on anybody else's life other than those people who want to have a gay marriage. This idea that there's something wrong with campaigning, is there something wrong with the civil rights movement we had here in Northern Ireland? Is there something wrong with the international civil rights movement? The LGBT people not have the right to go out and campaign for the rights that they believe that they have?
Yeah, I don't want this to be a discussion this morning about the right to protest. It's about gay marriage, isn't it? And Cameron's plans to legislate it.
Yes, and I think it's really positive to see from a Conservative government moves to ensuring marriage equality in England and Wales. It's very sad that we aren't even able to have those discussions here in Northern Ireland. When we contacted the Minister for Finance and Personnel to ask if he was even considering what impact this would have in Northern Ireland, he says it wasn't something he would consider or something he wouldn't be willing to consider. I think that's a very difficult situation for us to be. I think it's very lazy. I think it's very weak, and it's not the type of leadership that we expect from our politicians. No one has anything to fear from talking. I think if more opportunities were there to talk openly and honestly about these issues, there wouldn't be the same need for protests. There wouldn't need to be the same amount of public campaigning. There's a lot of myths exist out
Why
there.
Do you need gay marriage if you've got civil partnerships?
Because we don't need a two-tier system of relationships here in Northern Ireland or anywhere internationally. When we have a two-tier system where one group is allowed civil partnerships, one group is allowed marriage, then that creates a two-tier system where one is seen as better than the other. What we're calling for is real equality, real equity under the law, that all relationships, all marriages should be recognised as equal.
Lord McGuinness?
Well, that's where I differ. They all are not equal in the eyes of many, many people who have to face up to this.
How does it impact on them?
It impacts insofar as it devalues the very word marriage. Marriage is between a man and a woman. Let me take an extreme case. This is really based on sexual practice. Now,
it's not based on sexual practice. It's based on love. That is a disgusting comment.
Of course it is.
And one of the reasons why we're getting this response from the Equality Commission. It's a disgusting comment.
Excuse me, I didn't interrupt you. This is based on sexual practice. Now, does that mean that every deviant practice has to be accommodated? Do we have to accommodate? Will the next thing be that we legislate for some sort of bestiality? I feel that.
So you know, Lord McGuinness. Now I need to interrupt you there. Are you seriously equating two human beings who are homosexual having gay sex to bestiality? Is that what you're doing this morning?
I'm saying it's...
You're drawing a comparison, are you?
I'm saying it's a rung on the ladder.
You're drawing a comparison, are you?
I'm saying it's a rung on the ladder. I mean, don't put words into my mouth.
No, I'm not. You used the word bestiality, not me.
Yes.
You need to be very, very aware that there are many gay people who feel themselves vulnerable, feel themselves isolated, and feel that they want to be part of this community.
That I have no right to define the practice of homosexuality as I see it. It's not something that where there is any reaction from me, other than you've asked me to define it as I see it, as it affects my church, as it may affect children. My children are all grown up, but grandchildren and so on. I just do not believe that we should be doing anything to encourage this deviant practice.
So let me be clear.
Let me make one thing clear. If my next door neighbor is homosexual, I will treat him with the same day-to-day respect that I treat the neighbor on the other side.
Let me be clear, Lord McGuinness, so that this is not misconstrued. What comparison do you draw? Why do you talk about bestiality in the same way as homosexual sex?
Because I'm talking about unnatural and deviant sexual practices.
John O'Doherty?
That's really what it boils down to.
Well, I think Laura McGuinness has shown this morning his complete incapacity to recognise love between same-sex couples. We're not talking about sex, and this is what we hear from the Christian right all the time. They can't talk about sexual orientation without talking about sex. I don't know what their fascination is about same-sex couples and the sex that they have. I think it's completely disgusting to some of the comments that have been made here this morning, the risks to children. I mean, this is, you know, see, we're here this morning to talk about this Equality Commission report, one of the reasons why we're on the radio. And as you said, 27% of people would not like to live next door to someone who is same-sex attracted. 42% would not like an LGBT in-law. These are serious, serious attitudes, serious negative attitudes that exist out there. And the fact is, why are we surprised by this?
Well, and yet...
I'm not surprised at all. But the comments we're hearing from Lord McGuinness, the public are going to form their attitudes based on the information that's available. And when we hear such rampant homophobia coming from a senior politician here in Northern Ireland, where else would we expect people's attitudes?
And yet, John O'Doherty, people who object to gay marriage should not be pilloried and isolated and told that they are somehow not able to have the same freedom of expression as you are.
Absolutely.
They're standing by the values of how they interpret their faith,
absolutely,
how they interpret marriage.
Absolutely, and I think everyone should have a voice in this, and that's why I'm so thankful that the government chose to hold the consultation the way that they did, because everyone can have a voice in this discussion. But when you are using the opportunity for freedom of speech, when you do have the platform to talk about these things, it's inappropriate to start talking about things like bestiality, to start talking about polygamy and other issues like that, as if somehow it's brought into this discussion. And that's fear-mongering. That's all that is. That's trying to tell people who are concerned about those issues, who are concerned about morality, that if you let the gays have rights, if you let the gays get married, then everybody else is going to want to.
Go on, Lord McGuinness.
There's a difference between love between two consenting adults than bestiality or polygamy and other illegal things. Homosexuality has been
part of the problem is, and you ask me a straight question, I give you a straight answer. Part of the problem is that gay marriage as such is being misrepresented by those who are campaigning, like your Mr. Mr. Doherty. It's being misrepresented as something that we should virtually be encouraging within society. That is not the society that I want to live in. It's not what happens. What happens behind closed doors, I have no say over that. I'm sure there are all sorts of malpractices that occur, but what I do have a say about is whether we should legislate for this type of thing, whether in fact it gets to the stage, because the next thing will be, my church will be forced, it will have it imposed on it, the need to perform religious ceremonies that are a mockery.
What do you think a young gay man or woman should do if they're attracted to the same sex?
If I was a doctor, I probably could answer that. I'm not. I'm not pretending to be a doctor. I'm somebody who's concerned.
But what do you think they should do? No, what do you think they should do as a person, as an individual, as a citizen in Northern Ireland, and they're attracted to the same sex? You think they should go to the doctor, do you? Or what do you think they should do?
I'm not in a position. There are people who are much more expert. You know, I'll talk about things that I understand. I won't talk about something that is a physiological condition, so I'm told. I don't know whether it's a developed condition or whether it's a natural condition. I'm sorry, but I don't know enough about it. What I do know is that I don't want art nor part of it. But
Ken, hold on a minute. You're a seasoned politician, yes. Right? You yes. Understand, you still understand what it is like growing up. You understand what it is like to feel vulnerable. You understand what it is like to feel isolated. Because you've tried during your political life to protect people who you think need protected, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, what does a young person who is currently in a school in Northern Ireland, let's take that age group, a 15, 16, 17, 18, 19-year-old, and they're feeling different, and they're feeling like they don't have a sense of confidence because they hear people like you telling them that they're on the wrong, their sexual practices are on the wrong of towards bestiality. What do they do?
No, well, I didn't say that. I made that as a comparison on a step ladder to what I think are improper.
I think you used the word deviant. What do they do?
Yes.
What do they do? How do they feel part of this society? How do they have a sense of confidence about themselves, Ken? How do they feel like life is worth living if they don't?
Well, I probably, for want of a better answer, would say, well, yes, they should find a doctor or a psychiatrist who understands that better than I do. They should seek help, and they shouldn't leave themselves to be to those aggressive people who do practice homosexuality. That's basically it. And it's those young people who have problems that I would like to see the appropriate help for.
0845955578. Alan, morning Alan in Portadown.
Good morning, Stephen, and good morning, Lord McGuinness. No, I just like a man comment on this whole issue again. I'm in total support with Ken McGuinness. We cannot be seen to encourage this type of activity. The Christian Institute, Colin Hart, and the rest of them are working very hard to maintain the institution of marriage. The Lord said, be fruitful and multiply. Like, what kind of society would we have today if Northern Ireland was gay? Where would the children all come from? You know, we don't need psychologists. We don't need doctors. We've got the Bible. And the Bible says it's a sin. And the sinful community in Genesis 18 were destroyed because of their activity. It's no different today. How on earth can you expect the Lord to prosper this nation when the like of this activity is going on? You know, I have all the sympathy for those who tend to be like this. But like when I'm married and have children of over 50 years of age, and have plenty of good friends.
What would society be like today, Alan, if there were people like you everywhere?
It would be prosperous.
Would it?
It would be prosperous.
It would just be perfect, would it?
Lord, they would be.
You're the perfect model for a human being. We should try to replicate you throughout Northern Ireland.
Well, that wouldn't be a bad idea. But there's the like of the Highlands of Scotland, Lewis, like Shetland Islands. I have a daughter who works there, and she tells me on the Lord's Day there's nothing happening. Everybody's at the church.
I'm sure, Alan, when you've put out that statement this morning, you know, what would Northern Ireland be like if there were loads of gay people? I wonder what Northern Ireland would be like if there were loads of you.
Northern Ireland, a good number of years back, a majority of the population were like me. They weren't either, and the country prospered.
I'm sure there are lots of people driving around at the minute just wishing they were like you, Alan. John O'Doherty?
Well, Stephen, you know, you asked the question, what Northern Ireland would be like if everyone was gay? What would Northern Ireland be like if everyone was exactly the same? I think it would be a very boring society to live in. I don't
think we
have the same international impact that we've had in things like movies and the arts and theatre and all the different real positive attributes Northern Ireland has made internationally. I don't want that individual sympathy. It's something that I don't need. The reality is that gay marriage doesn't impact on anyone else. We heard exactly the same arguments whenever the discussions were being held around civil partnerships. We were told that it would damage marriage, that marriage, the institution of marriage would be removed, it wouldn't be inadequate, it wouldn't be the same as it always.
Well, there are people, John O'Doherty, who believe that marriage is between a man and a woman.
And they're not
necessarily homophobic. It's how they believe their church instruction directs them. It's how they believe their faith directs them. And they don't want you to infiltrate it.
And Stephen, they're very welcome to have as many marriages as they want. No one's talking about stopping anyone from having a marriage. This idea that if someone has a right and someone else gets that right, that diminishes the other person's right. It's such a ridiculous statement to make. It is no basis in reality. This has no impact on anybody else. It doesn't make anyone else's marriage any less important, any less recognised under the law.
Fidel McCarlin is in the studio with me this morning, one of the Equality Commissioner's commissioners. Fidel, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Come nice and close to that microphone for me. What did this survey show?
I think this survey showed that Northern Ireland still has a prejudice towards a range of people on the basis of gender, on ethnic identity, on their sexual orientation, and also on religion. And it is concerning because we thought that things had improved, but there's issues like the economic climate has increased prejudice towards those from ethnic minorities. The LGBT community have, while the statistics have gone lower in terms of the overall kind of attitudes, when it comes down to things like workplace and having someone as an in-law or as a neighbour, the statistics have actually gone up.
Talk to us about the statistics around gay marriage and Northern Ireland's attitudes towards it.
We didn't ask about gay marriage specifically, and certainly gay marriage in terms of if it goes through in England, then it'll be looked at in terms of the legislative process over here. So we'll have to wait to see what happens around that. I think a number of interesting things did come up that this year, for the first time, we asked about transgender. And traveller and transgender were the two groups where people had demonstrated the most prejudice, both generally and in terms of having an in-law or living beside them. And yet, as groups, they're statistically very small. So it's quite unlikely that many of the 1,100 people who are surveyed have actually ever met somebody from the transgender community or from the traveller community. And yet, they have made judgments about those people based on other areas.
I'm just looking at some of the stats here. 27% would mind a gay, lesbian or bisexual person living next door.
Yeah, which surprised me. I mean, although it's not, in some ways, not unsurprising because...
That's up from 2005. Yeah. From 14% in 2005.
And work that the Rainbow Project have done in terms of research around workplaces and the health and social care sector have done indicates that over a quarter of people, in fact a third in some areas, do not feel they can be out at work. And that's a real issue in terms of workplace culture, that people don't feel that they'd be discriminated against and can't share that part of their identity. And I think in terms of Lord McGuinness, in terms of acknowledging their relationship, maybe it's a very long-term significant relationship, not being able to talk about it within their workplace.
What do you make of what Lord McGuinness has said this morning?
Well, I suppose I'm not surprised. I'm disappointed in terms of some of the attitudes and prejudice that he has shown.
What are you specifically disappointed about?
I mean, I'm particularly disappointed that there's still this presumption that sexual orientation is about sexual practice, when actually it's so much more about than that. It's about identity. It's about loving relationships.
Well, he has said precisely the opposite. He has said it is totally about sexual practice.
And that is disappointing. And I think it's disappointing that he defines anybody in terms of their sexual practice. I think that's disappointing. I think it gives him a limited view of the people that are around him.
Lord McGuinness, do you want to respond to the Equality Commission this morning?
No, but I mean, I think it's the nature of society, it's the nature of humanity that we all have sexual urges. That's what generates society, keeps community going, and there is what I believe a natural and a non-natural expression of that particular practice, and that is really what this is about, I'm afraid. When you look a little bit wider and look at some of the abuses of young people that we've seen down through the years.
And you're equating that now to gay people too, Lord McGuinness, are you?
It's not the first time.
Are you, Lord McGuinness? You don't think heterosexual people abuse children, Lord McGuinness? Is that right?
Sadly, they do, and we've seen examples of it. But I mean, what I'm against Look, let me be clear about this. I'm a grandfather of eight. I am against the abuse of children. I was a school teacher for 23 years. I'm against the abuse of children, and I'm against the misdirection of children.
As am I, Stephen. Let's be clear about this. This isn't something that the LGBT community or the LGBT sector support. I think we have to be clear, though, that young people are no more likely to be molested by someone who is same-sex attracted than someone who is heterosexual. There is absolutely no link in relation to child abuse and sexual orientation. And statements like this are exactly what Lord McGuinness made in 2004, back when the discussions were being held around civil partnerships. I think he was actually tackled in the House in relation to comments that he had made about same-sex attracted people and child abuse by Baroness Howarth. So, you know, we're seeing exactly history repeat itself here around a different issue, but the same issue nonetheless, and the same ridiculous comments being made that can't be stood by. We're talking about the opinions against lesbian, gay, bisexual people. Is it any wonder that people have the prejudice that they have when they're hearing comments like that coming from a senior politician here in Northern Ireland? It's absolutely revolting, and it's something that Lord McGuinness and any political parties that he's linked with need to take into consideration as to what the impact of that is going to be. We're talking about trying to build a shared society here in Northern Ireland. Is it a shared society without gay people, without same-sex attracted people? Because if that is, I think there will be a lot of people in opposition to that. Some of the positive stats from the Equality Commission report, which haven't been touched on this morning, is that 77% of people agree that equality law should be strengthened in Northern Ireland to reflect other laws in Great Britain. That's a real positive statistic.
Well, how's the law different here than in Great Britain?
There are issues such as the blood ban, for example, and a discussion that you've had on your show many times. That is a change which has been...
Well, we've still had no clarity from the DUP Health Minister on that.
Absolutely.
Still no clarity.
The Minister won't give any firm position on where he stands. He's had plenty of opportunity to hold all the meeting, all the investigations that he wants to have, but he still hasn't come forward with an opinion. Another one is the rights of faith organisations and religious organisations who want to be able to hold civil partnerships within their venues and amongst their ceremonies. That is a law that's been brought in parts of Britain,
okay,
but hasn't been brought in here in Northern Ireland.
Let me speak to Mark in Lisburn. Morning to you, Mark.
I think the thing that's bugging me is, right, okay, a lot of people, you know, Christians prod gay people with the same stick, but gay people prodding Christians with the same stick think everyone has the same opinion, right? I'm a Christian myself. Okay? I've been a Christian since I was 9 years old, and a very strong relationship with my Saviour, and I read my Bible, and my Bible states, judge others, bring judgment unto yourself. It also states, a sin is a sin. There's no difference. So if a Christian believes that homosexuality is wrong, that's fine, but he shouldn't judge someone for it. At the same time, if a Christian believes homosexuality is wrong and also believes in your body's a temple, does that mean then there's a difference between a smoker and a gay person because they both sin as much? There's no level on the sin. So what I think in this argument we need to get clear is, you know, some Christians can be very opinionated and can vocal their opinions. They shouldn't judge others. They shouldn't put it across others. But at the same time, gay people shouldn't think that every Christian's going to turn around and barrage them and bombard them with, you know, you're wrong, you're going to hell and all this stuff.
Jerry's in Belfast. Morning to you, Jerry. We're talking about gay marriage this morning.
Yes, gay marriage. Well, the way I look at it is...
The reason we're talking about it is because David Cameron, the Prime Minister, has plans to legislate for gay marriage. It's going to be a free vote across the water. Unionist politicians have said that they're going to lobby against it. They're going to vote no.
Well, the way I look at it is, I'm a married mom of five children, and I'm nearly 70 now. But, and I know very few homosexual people, but I've always looked upon them as people that, if God made children, their genes have been mixed up when they were born. So it's not their fault. I'm not saying it's God's fault either, but it's the way they were born. Nobody can change it. And it's the way they come up themselves, and it's the way they think. They can't have feelings like that the same way as I can't have feelings for a woman or my wife or whatever.
And has it struck you that there might be some people who don't want to change it, who actually are very happy?
Well, there might be some people who want to change it, but there was people in 1939 and 1933 wanted to change things in Germany. Are we going to go down the same route? People have a right to live. People have a right to live and have a happy and fulfilled life. It can't be dictated to by people that set themselves up as judge and jury.
Here's an Antrim caller in Randallstown. Good morning. Just gone. Jared in Lisburn. Morning, Jared.
Hi, Stephen. I'd just like to comment on what Lord McGuinness had said. I'm a bit disappointed you didn't pull him up on the... I understand that you argued with him a wee bit about the bestiality. Let's get this here straight. I'm not gay. I've got a few gay friends and stuff and people around me. My son is... his uncle's gay, and he has never influenced them in any way. They're not make-believe people. They're not zombies. You can't be bitten and you can't be touched by one and you turn gay. It's a pathetic statement, and the sum of the bestiality.
Do you want to speak to Lord McGuinness? I want you to speak directly to Ken McGuinness this morning. Yeah. Go ahead. Say good morning to him.
Hello, Ken. How are you?
Yes, good morning.
Yeah, look, you're entitled to your opinion if you don't agree with it, but seeing you start to equate it with such nonsense like bestiality and shame molesting, it's going down the wrong path. People who molest children are neither gay nor straight. Okay, they molest children. That there's a fact. Bestiality. Two people turn around saying "I love you" or "I care for you" have a right to talk to each other and human communication. A dog or a cat or a cow can turn around and say, "Please stop doing that."
Nobody has disputed this. I mean, one can't be a father and a grandfather without understanding what it is to love other people. But I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about trying through the law, imposing through the law, this gay marriage thing without considering what marriage is, what marriage has been, and I believe what marriage will be by and large in the future. And that's what I want to protect. I haven't said a word against individual homosexuals. I have no animosity to them. What I have is an objection to marriage being that should be regularized between a man and a woman being becoming a deviant so that we can marry who we like in terms
on,
of two men,
honest,
two women.
It's all right you saying that, you have no problem with them, but equating it to bestiality, and turn out, you're basically afraid, and you turn around calling it a deviant behaviour. As I already pointed out, I'm a dad, I've got two kids, and I love them dearly, and I wouldn't like anything happen to them, but I know people who wouldn't touch them. You're just talking from a point of view that you fail to understand. Typical typical religious and unionist point of view, there are things called facts, right? See, once you start reading it, people turn around and go, no, sense doesn't have a clue. Start reading facts and then you'll start getting the grip of it. It's not that you have your right to turn around and say, I don't agree with this. That is no problem. Everybody has the right to do that there, and I'm certainly not going to criticise you for that there. But I'll tell you something else. See, once you start equating to things like that, see, once you start coming out and then you start punishing people for making human decisions old, and they have the right to do that. They pay their taxes or they work or they, and you start telling people what they shouldn't do. That is bordering on what we had in the past over here. People telling people on one side of the community what they shouldn't do. People have the rights. I don't go to gay pride parades. But do you know what? I don't care. People aren't down there ratting and kicking the nonsense out of each other and putting up flags and burning each other to their houses. See, once we get away from this idea,